Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live-play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers have made their way into the Met, but things have already fallen apart. Richter faked an injury and was drugged into unconsciousness. Adrian thinks Richter is dead and is trying to hold the entire museum staff hostage with his shotgun. And Red has discovered an Egyptian threat already loose in the building. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the Mythos.
Richter, you are in the land of dreams. Drug-induced dreams, where anything is possible and every heist ends in hilarity and hijinks. But as is often the case with sort of drugs that are of the nature of laudanum or anything else that really kind of knocks you out and puts you out of it, and particularly for someone like Richter, who actually does suffer from some mental incapacities from the trauma experienced at the church, as your brain is freed up of its normal constraints, you kind of find memories beginning to resurface, particularly based on the events of the last few days and some of the investigations you've been doing. Distinctly, kind of out of the laudanum fog, reaches out, holding an amulet. and you find yourself just inside your, I believe it was your shop, not your house. It was the shop. Sally left her friends to come back and show you this amulet.
Yeah, it was my shop.
You see her holding this up, and she just says, Mr. Richter, I think we need to talk.
Richter is reading a newspaper, but in sort of like that dreamy world thing, like there's nothing intelligible in the newspaper kind of thing.
Yeah, as Batman the Animated Series taught us, the letters.
It's just gray boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'll put the newspaper down and fold it up and say, young Sally, or is she?
Young Sally, yep. This is partially because I've been reading a lot of books for work that have dream sequences that drive me nuts. this is less a dream and more memory, a memory kind of ensconced in dream logic, if that makes any sense.
Then I'll say, yes, young Sally, what is it?
She will kind of sigh, give you the kind of that determined look. She says, I think my parents, and I think a lot of the people in this town, and maybe even the pastor, are up to something. And normally, I would tell Tracy, and I would tell Addie, but I think this is beyond the mystery punchers. I think this is something really real, you know?
You say it is real. What makes you say that?
She kind of looks down at the amulet, says, my parents have said that in order to summon it, that we'll all need to believe very, very, very hard. It's been asleep for a long, long time. And I thought they were speaking kind of metaphorical-like, but I think they might be speaking literally. They said it's the one who was murdered, the one who was betrayed, the thousand-eyed Cyclops. And then she leans in, and she's like, they've called it Croatoan.
Does that set off any bells?
Yeah, if you'll recall, earlier in this weird dream... So this dream chronologically takes place right after the events of our previous Mystery Punchers flashback, where in investigating the bathroom, what seemed at first to perhaps just be an adorable misunderstanding about biology... revealed the word Croatoan carved into... a bathroom stall, Richter. This was a
found
name
it in the girls'
that,
washroom. That's right.
You and Ingrid had been chasing. This was part of the reason you came over here. In fact, which you at that time would know, Richter. Modern Richter would not. To modern Richter, the term Croatoan would now start to make more sense, I think, based on what you've discovered, but would now make more sense, but would, I think, when we've seen you previously in this adventure, when your brain was still more fragmented, would feel more like just another mystery you vaguely remember from your research.
Okay.
So one thing that occurs to current drugged up Richter is you're hearing words and reliving moments that you don't actively remember anymore, but that seem real and seem to make a bit more sense in as much awareness as you can muster. Actually, that's a good point. Maybe can you roll an int, please? Or you can roll a mythos. Up to you.
Not looking good. I'll spend one luck to get a regular success for int.
Okay. So, Richter, you manage to You manage to become somewhat lucid in this dream, enough so that you recognize that these are in fact memories that you've previously not had access to.
That have been like suppressed, kind of?
Yeah, I mean, we talked a bit about how after the incident at the church, your brain sort of fragmented a bit. So things that you knew but weren't able to really put your finger on or qualify or properly attend to previously. But that now, with everything you've learned, particularly from Gotham Crown, start to make some degree of sense. So with that in mind, even though this is technically a memory, I would encourage you to keep in mind that modern Richter is aware of what's happening and can shift it slightly.
Engaging with it, yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. Nodding, you look down at the amulet, which she places in the palm of your hand, and for a minute you almost get double vision as modern Richter, who obviously has a scar of this on his hand, as you kind of both see your unblemished hand holding it and kind of become aware that this is the artifact that did it. Yes, in the center of it, of course, is the symbol of the entombed eye.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Addy, you're holding up a museum.
Crying violently.
Okay. That's adorable and tragic. I'm going to need you to please roll me a spot hidden. The name of the game, as I've learned from countless hours of failure in Red Dead, is keeping an eye on everyone to make sure no one trips an alarm or calls for help. So I'm going to have you roll various checks throughout to see how you can kind of keep this crowd in control. I imagine you've had to quietly reload the narwhal as fast as you can after shooting it into the ceiling. But there was enough chaos and legitimate shock at the demise of Justin Ackers that everyone was kind of panicked and shell-shocked for a moment by you the time you needed. So go ahead and roll spot hidden, please.
That is a success.
Okay. You see a secretary trying to reach for a phone.
Okay, so his brain would know, he'd know his instructions, but she's not coming at him, so he doesn't have to shoot her. So instead it's just like the gun up and aimed at her, and he's just like, don't.
What's going through Addy's head right now? He's been left alone. This wasn't part of the plan. Usually Red would do all the talking after this. What's going on for the big guy?
He needs like a closet or something he can just put everyone in and then lock shut. Cause he needs to get Grandpa, and then he needs to go find Red. And then we gotta put Grandpa in one of those motels where people have a nice long sleep. Not like the woods, but like the ones with the stones over the beds.
Amazing. So I assume you're standing over Richter because you've got to protect his sleeping body. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think he's got like a perimeter. He'd move out because he needs to keep an eye on everybody, but nobody's getting between him and Grandpa. He will fuck them up.
Understood. Okay, amazing. So the secretary lets out like a shriek and just kind of like gets back down. One of the terrified museum curator types is just like, don't be a hero.
Yeah, listen to him. Where's the closet I can put you all in?
They're kind of like looking around. There's a lot of staff here. There isn't a closet per se that would fit all of them. Addy, from what you can see though, there is the bathrooms off the kitchen, but you're not really sure what the insides of those look like because you never got to take your big poop.
That's true.
Oh yeah, there aren't phones in bathrooms, so you and you and you.
And he's just going to guess how many people, which for him is always three in his head, because he can only count to three. But he will just like send groups of people to go to the bathroom, and he's going to watch him. So he'll send one group to go, and they have to go into the one bathroom, and other people so that like they can go to the rooms he's aware of.
Can you roll me an intimidation check, please?
Yeah. Yes, I can. Motherfucker!
No!
100
That's like two in a row for you. Well, I mean, like across three episodes.
Oh my god!
Shit!
That's incredible. Tom, can I use luck on 100 or am I stuck with it? Because it's 100.
I think that's a
fumble.
And here's the thing. I would normally suggest that, like, okay, you fumbled, but you can try a different thing. But in this case, I feel like this was a bit of a make or break.
Yeah, me too. I agree. Tactically, I want to use the luck, but
yeah,
narratively, I can't allow it.
No, I think we're all in agreement on that.
God damn it.
God damn. Okay. So as you gesture for them to start marching towards the bathroom, you trip over Grandpa Richard. As you just fucking bail face first, you hear screams, and running, and the sound of, an alarm, going off as people like rush the exit. Like they're straight up running away.
Okay. Then he's just gonna like scrabble up and pick up Grandpa Richard and throw him over his shoulder. And then he's just gonna run into the museum yelling like,
Red, I did it bad, and Grandpa's asleep.
All right, and with that, you bolt into the museum. Red, you're looking at a night watchman who's been knocked unconscious and whose face has been wrapped in filthy white bandages with an ankh on his chest. He's you hear the sounds of a shotgun blast in the distance. Just to sync up, all of your like infiltration roughly synced up with Adrian. Mm-hmm. Like you getting to this point is roughly yep. when he blew away the doctor.
Okay.
So he will be running to find you soon, but not yet. You hear a couple of gunshots, which of course indicates that there's problems back there, but you've got problems of your own right now, my friend.
I do.
What do you do?
I think she would be very conflicted in this moment, because on the one hand, she wants to keep going because time is of the essence. On the other hand, the thing that's going to happen is she's going to get into a tight spot, and then Addie's going to run in with Grandpa Richard and everything's going to go to utter hell. So is there an immediate threat in the room with this guard who's been knocked unconscious? Like, do I see anything?
Can you roll me a... let's go with a spot hidden, please.
Okay. That is a success.
Okay. Looking around, you don't see any immediate threat. Mm-hmm. And more importantly... I think, sir, what level of success was that?
Just a regular success. Regular?
Okay. Yeah. Looking around, it's easy in these situations, particularly because like we as players are aware that we're playing a game, to assume that this is something to do with you. Mm-hmm. But given that the guard was just kind of taken out on their own, you don't get the sense that anything is after you specifically. There is something here that did mm-hmm. this, but it might not be after you, if that makes sense.
Okay. Then I think the best course of action is to stay put and wait for Adrian to find me.
Okay.
Because great. Otherwise things are going to get real chaotic.
Okay. You hang tight, hoping that Adrian will track you as he often does. Can you please roll me a listen check?
Mm-hmm. Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
You can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else, so do that. Now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
Oh, that's a... I'm going to spend 1 point of luck and get that to a hard success.
Hard nice. Success. Oh, nice. Okay. You hear rapid footsteps approaching from behind you. They're very, very faint. But someone clearly moving quite quickly.
Does it sound like Adrian? I feel like I would recognize his kind of like footsteps.
Maybe not. I think you would. I kind of took this to be that you were like looking back the way Adrian came. The way that you came that you assume Adrian would follow. This is coming from behind you.
Oh, then I'm going to turn around and pull my guns and just hold them out to whatever's happening.
So you turn around and before you, running at a sprint, is a figure wrapped in similarly filthy bandages that seems to have them kind of trailing from their hands. And over their face, you see a carved wooden death mask.
I shoot it.
Okay. Go ahead and roll.
Red's not dealing with this occult nonsense. Yeah. Like,
they're already dressed for the occasion.
Exactly.
Shoot the guy in the death mask.
I just want to make this accurate. Okay, so go ahead with firearms, please. Handgun.
Okay.
What is a what does an Egyptian death mask look like, Tom?
So in this particular case, normally you wouldn't bury a mummy wearing one of these, but because you have everything on the outside.
Yeah.
This looks like a carved wooden version of kind of what you'd see on the outside of a sarcophagus. So that kind of classic, like there's gaps obviously for the eyes, but you know, the classic like little beard. Mm. It's kind of rough. It is a roughly carved facsimile.
Got it.
That's just a regular success.
Regular success. Okay, one moment. All right, so I'm going to have to see a disadvantage for dodging, given that it's running directly at you, and you just turned around and opened up. Oh, shit. Yeah, no, that is a train wreck. 69.
Nice.
That's
the lead number.
Yeah. So you open up with both barrels. You've seen enough fucking occult mythos bullshit in your time. That I think it's also just the frustration of like, it's nice to actually just have something corporeal to shoot at. It's not like a brain worm or, you know, your old friends. So you just open up with both barrels and the mask gets like chipped away as the bullets tear through it. You see a spray of red viscera out the back of the head as the mummy lurches forward and just kind of stumbles and falls and slides across the ground towards you, leaking brain and blood from the massive wound in the back of its head. At which point you realize that the mummy is wearing shoes.
Yeah, I kind of figured it wasn't actually an undead Egyptian mummy coming back from the dead to get me. I figured this was a person, but frankly, she's just had it with this nonsense magical bullshit. So, I think she'd roll it over to make sure that it's nobody she knows.
Sure. So you roll the figure over, kick the mask away. Underneath, you just see, obviously with a couple bullet holes, but a woman you don't recognize. She does definitely seem to have, mobsters have a certain type. So she definitely looks, not unlike you in a lot of ways. Just kind of like a lady who's lived a kind of tough life. But yes, no one you directly recognize. You recognize a con when you see it. And it's at this point that you hear an alarm bell start ringing throughout the museum. And bolting around the corner comes Adrian with old man Richter limply flopping over his shoulder.
And when you look at Adrian, it looks like he's been pied in the face with a cherry pie. Like there's just gore all at the very front of him.
Adrian, are you hurt?
No, but they put Grandpa Richard to sleep.
The museum curator killed Grandpa Richard, and she's just going to, like, look over and kind of look at his face.
He kind of smiles. His eyes kind of loll. Tyler, what nonsense does Old Man Richter mutter?
I don't know if it's going to be like funny nonsense. I think you hear him just saying like, "The one who was murdered, the one who was betrayed, the thousand-eyed Cyclops, Krotoa."
Wait, is he awake?
Eddie, honey, you can stop crying. He's alive.
Well, I know he's alive, but he's waking up. That's supposed to happen from the long sleep. Can this happen from the long sleep? We left so many people in the woods.
He's not in the long sleep, honey. He's just in the short sleep right now. What happened to him? Did somebody stick him with something, or did he
fell down and he was hurt, and then the doctor came, and then I gave him the drugs the doctor said, and then he was this. So I said, "Did you give him the long sleep?" And the doctor said yes, so I shot the doctor in the face.
Oh, God.
And I tried to do a stick-up, but I fell down, and now we're here.
Okay, honey, you know what?
You said to follow you, and then you left me alone.
I'm sorry, Addie. I did the best I could with what I had, and I apologize. You did good, okay?
Why didn't we dress up like police officers? I had such a good plan.
You know what? You're right.
At which point, two mummies with Tommy guns appear from the far end of the room and start lighting it up. Red and Adrian, you've got two guys at the far end of the room, so back where the Night Watchman was, lighting up this room full of dinosaur bones. What do you do?
I get out of the line of fire first up, and then ideally fire back at them.
Okay, go ahead and roll me a dodge check, please.
All right.
Ryan, what does Adrian do?
Adrian would immediately cover Red with his body. Like, that would be step one. And then he'd open up with the narwhal, yelling like, "Stop! Police!"
What is 0-0 on the dice stand for? Does that stand for zero?
No, it doesn't. It's the opposite of zero. That's 100. Yeah.
So I got 102?
Oh, no. 0-0 is like no tens. So then you would have gotten
that. Then you just scored two.
Then I got two. Yeah, great. So that's an extreme success.
All right. So you say this, and, you know, Red, it always takes a lot to get you to apologize, particularly to Adrian. But you really do feel like you kind of fucked this one up. So you're about to give him like the heartfelt speech that like you were never really sure if you could, but with everything that's happened, when oh shit, mummies with guns. So you having eyed the armadillo earlier, immediately you just like book it towards that. You kind of power slide in behind it. Again, your chest hurts so fucking much. You safely get to cover. Adrian runs along beside you. Adrian, I'm going to need you to please roll me a constitution.
Oh, dope. Yeah, I rolled a 10, which is as successful as one can be.
Nice.
Extreme success?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Ryan, you're only going to take 2 points of damage as bullets do like kind of wing you. But also, I mean, these will come as no surprise that the people wearing fake mummy masks do not have great line of sight in the darkened museum. So it is more of a prey and spray. So you managed to duck in behind the armadillo as well. The two of you prepare to return fire. Old Man Richter, there seems to be heavy, almost like hail bouncing off the roof of the shop. You can just hear these very loud bangs in your dream. All of that is secondary to you as you observe this amulet. Can you please roll me an occult check?
That's an extreme success.
Fuck yeah. It would seem that your instincts were right. Ingrid thought that finding the sort of famed resting place of the Crotone would be impossible and would be particularly insane in some small fucking nowhere town in Maine. And yet, Massachusetts. And yet, it would seem that if not the place, at least some people here believe it to be. Normally, this would be a great chance for you to find these people, to sort of infiltrate their ranks and learn as much as you can. But from the sounds of things, if you let that happen, if you don't kind of figure out what to do soon, something truly bad is going to happen to Sally and likely to some of the other kids here in the town. So, Richter, here's a weird question for you as a modern player, but thinking about your character in the past. Given his only tenuous relationship with the Mystery Punchers, would Richter at this point start formulating a plan to protect them or to infiltrate the cult?
I think because this is all so new to him, I think he just like gets down on one knee and puts both hands on Sally's shoulder and just like begs her not to go to the church. He just says, Sarah, listen to me. It is very important that you do not attend church with your parents. It is something very bad is going to happen there, Sally. You need to hide. You need to run away. Because it's a dream, I don't know if that has any real impact or if she's just like glassy-eyed, like do that in a dream kind of thing.
She kind of like nods at you sadly and she says, oh, okay, Mr. Richter, I'll try. In the meantime, can you see what you can learn about this amulet? Maybe it can help somehow.
Yes. Oh, yes, Sally. Thank you. This is more helpful than you could ever know.
Well, thanks, Mr. Richter. It sure is going to be a shame when you let me die, though, isn't it? And her eyes turn black and suddenly the sort of space around you begins to fall away. Richter, you find yourself getting smaller and smaller as she seems to get larger and larger and almost more angular until she sort of looms over you. And then she puts both of her hands kind of wrap around your shoulders. And then you feel hands wrap around your waist and hands wrap around your legs. And with a sort of an elongated neck, she leans down very, very close, and just says, "You know what? Maybe you should run."
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, JAHZZAR, and all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord Abradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Zekin X, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you to the grim darkness of the 41st millennium in The Valentine Heresy, an actual play podcast set in the Genesis adaptation of Warhammer 40,000's Dark Heresy RPG. Newly promoted Inquisitor Lucius Valentine has received visions of the death of the immortal God Emperor. With few options before him, he teams up with hive-bred criminal siblings Lyric and Alto. Together, they must defeat a cabal of shadowy foes to save the Emperor and the Imperium. Can this trio of unlikely heroes survive in a galaxy where there is only war?
The Emperor is going to die in a year. My job is to make sure the Emperor doesn't die. Because if the Emperor dies, the Astronomicon goes out. And the only thing keeping the Imperium alive is the fact that we have a very large navy and a very large army and space marines, and they shoot everyone. It's delightful. Praise the Emperor. Thanks for that. But if the Astronomicon goes out, we have no navy, we have no ability to defend ourselves, and the Xenos and Chaos will overrun us instantly because there will be no defense.
So every planet will turn out like Galen's Glory?
And that would be the best case scenario. Which is why we need to keep the Emperor on his throne.
I spit in my palm and put my hand out for a handshake.
Am I supposed to do something in return? Is this... I'm sorry, I just don't know what this is.
Alto's like, yeah, like this. He spits in his hand and puts it out towards you as well.
Then I spit in both palms and shake their hands separately.
We have an inquisitorial band.
Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, available now.